Welcome back to the Razzball Fantasy Football Podcast with myself, Donkey Teeth, and B-Don. We got another week of fantasy football in the books. That's 7 weeks in the books. We're heading into week eight. How's it going down there in Atlanta, B-Don?
It's going well, man. I mean, some of my teams are doing well, at least, I guess I should say. Even the ones that are doing well have now been hit by the injury bug. So we will see how this season plays out, who gets back, who plays, you know, and on top of that all, we got big trades going. So it's been a fun ride this season, although unpredictable and maybe frustrating as well along the way.
Yeah, we talked about a lot of that last week.
We did. I just wanted to remind everybody because, man, it hasn't changed at all.
Yeah, I mean, I guess some things have changed. A lot of things have stayed the same. We've still got Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers sucking, which
just is being awful. Yeah,
a little bit of a surprise, but I don't hate it.
No, I'm fine with it. At this point, if they both were like retired at the end of the season, that'd be fine with me.
Yeah, but Joe Burrow looks great, and he was one of the guys we were talking about that had seemed to have turned a corner, and man, he looks awesome.
Yeah. If you bought even a little high, you were still rewarded, I think, in a Burrow trade.
Yeah, well, you know, the big news of the week, and this actually dropped like at the very end of the Thursday night game, and I think a lot of people had probably like tuned out by then, and they just kind of like casually announced, oh, Christian McCaffrey just got traded to the 49ers. Were you watching at that time?
I was I actually saw the news first on like Twitter as is a standard. But I mean, that's just kind of crazy that it just happened kind of out of nowhere. It happened so late in the week too. That's pretty different for NFL trades. Usually you get trades happening kind of on the back end of the week, or on the front side of the week, so you can get guys, you know, up to speed to some extent. But hey, it's Christian McCaffrey, and they saw the opportunity and the need, and they went and made the trade. I mean, we've at least gotten a look already, so we're not just coming in blind like we would have been if we would have just jumped on and discussed it.
Yeah, I mean, he played, and about as you'd expect. You know, he got in early, which maybe was a little bit of a surprise, but then he was kind of an afterthought in the second half of the game, it seemed like, which makes sense for somebody that doesn't know the offense, right?
Yeah, especially the way that the game played out. I mean, they got behind and definitely needed some points. And while that's usually where Christian McCaffrey would thrive, you also need to know the plays a little bit more to run that side of the offense than you would here's his own stretch outside. Just, you know, take it in where you feel like the hole is. Like, that's pretty standard within most offenses versus actually knowing the pass offense, where the coverages are, and then all the stuff that comes with that offense. Plus, it's just running it at a faster pace.
I'm going to guess you're going to be buying Christian McCaffrey just based on how much you love Christian McCaffrey.
I mean, I do love him. I don't feel like there's been any change. You're still going to have to pay top prices for him. I'd still buy if you're looking to make a move. I mean, regardless of what you're trying to do, whether you're in a good position and you're trying to bolster your team, or whether you're, you know, just trying to mix it up and see if something sticks, I think it's kind of the right time to trade for him regardless of your situation, because the McCaffrey owner may be in a spot where they're looking to make a change. I will say, we kind of know, or it looked a little clearer, at least in his first week, you know, without Matt Rhule, that his role was going to be pretty clear. Now the role does seem a little bit more up in the air just because the offense itself is a little bit different, but I would expect he gets a lot of the stuff that we saw, you know, the wide receivers running for the 49ers, just because they didn't have, you know, a clear running back. I mean, they had running backs, but like giving the ball to Debo is just as good as giving it to Jeff Wilson. And now you have Christian McCaffrey to take those touches. So I think that's where you're going to see the difference in the offense moving forward, is that McCaffrey's going to get a lot of those touches, whereas Debo may see more of a traditional wide receiver role.
Yeah, I mean, I was more on the sell end of McCaffrey coming into this, and now I think that there's there's an argument for buying him just because of the vastly improved offensive situation. You know, the upside, yeah, he's still Christian McCaffrey in Carolina, but that offense, I mean, they came out and I guess kind of dominated Tampa this week. So it's hard to say anything too terrible about him, but it's pretty good offense. So I would have said his upside was limited in Carolina, and it's a lot higher. You know, he's back to the league winning upside. There's still some injury risk because, you know, he's missed a lot of time over the last two seasons, but you know, that you get that with any running back, like we always say. So yeah, I think I'm on board the buy train now of McCaffrey.
Yeah. I will say, I don't think the upside is any more like is higher or lower necessarily, because in Carolina, he was so much of the offense, whereas San Francisco has weapons. They don't necessarily have to rely on him like Carolina did. Although, why do you trade Christian McCaffrey and not
right.
utilize yeah, they're him? Gonna, yeah. So, yes, I'm buying. I just wanted to throw that out there because it is something that could happen. Like, we could see the number of touches come down a little bit just because of the amount of options that they have to throw to in San Francisco. Although, Carolina had some receiving options as well. They just had absolute crap at quarterback. I'm not saying that Jimmy G is great at quarterback, but he's at least stabilizing and knows the offense he's working in.
Yeah, the 49ers are going to score a lot more points than the Panthers, I guess, is
one would think.
That's the nuts and bolts of the argument here. But moving on to how this affects the Panthers running backs, I immediately snatched up Chuba Hubbard and Dante Foreman, and I was not excited about it. In fact, I put myself in like a roster bind in one of my home leagues, and then Waller was out and I needed a defense. So I just ended up trading them for a little bit of fab just because I didn't have the space, and I wasn't, you know, kicking myself. It was like, I don't think these guys are going to be more than a flex play. Maybe one of them emerges into an RB2. And then, of course, they both go off in the first week. Sounds like Chuba Hubbard's got a little bit of ankle injury, but he's going to be okay. Like, I read that he could have come back, according to Schefter. So it's interesting. I mean, I guess the silver lining for me having sold both of them is that it seems like it's probably going to be a committee moving forward. I mean, Foreman really looked good. He went off for a couple of large runs. Chuba came in and got some of that goal line work and snagged the touchdown. I don't know. What are you thinking on these two moving forward? Are you buying one of them more than the other, or do you think this is going to be status quo?
I mean, it did seem like Hubbard was getting a little bit more of the work before his injury. They reported that he could have come back in if they needed him, but seeing as you know, Foreman was doing fine, the game really didn't require anybody to press their injuries. So I would say I tend to agree with you that it's going to be kind of a messy situation moving forward. I think if I'm trusting one from a talent standpoint, which is generally where I go, I think it's Foreman. He's always been fairly talented, just never really got the opportunity. Plus, he's always injured. Hubbard does seem to have some place in the offense, though. And it's not like he looked bad in his performance either. I mean, he looked just as good almost as Foreman did. It's just, I don't think he's as talented, but there's a trust factor, I think, that the Carolina has with him, despite all the changes in offense and everything. It seems like they trust him to kind of do what he's supposed to be, where he's supposed to be. Whereas Foreman's a little bit more of the like raw athletic guy, may miss an assignment or two here or there.
Yeah. So I think I'm with you. My opinion hasn't really changed. I mean, it was a nice performance for both of these guys. Maybe you bump them up a little bit, but it sure seemed like Tampa was sleepwalking in this game. They came in thinking they were just going to dominate, and like, they didn't prepare at all, it seems.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It's it was a weird game, man. I don't know what's going on with Tampa. I think they just kind of expected to cruise through the season and then just pick it up when playoffs came around. It just has not happened.
Yeah, you never fade Tom Brady too hard, because so many times in his career he's looked like toast and then wakes up, you know, in the second half. So we'll see what happens. But moving on, B-Don, the other big piece of news, I guess the biggest piece of news other than the McCaffrey trade was Breece Hall's injury. It looks like he's going to be done for the year with an ACL injury. So now we've got Michael Carter. You know, everybody was pretty excited about Michael Carter taking over the role. And then suddenly the Jets turn around and trade for your guy, James Robinson. So I don't know. What do you think that this backfield is going to look like moving forward? Are you buying either of these guys?
You know, I don't. I was going to say full go ahead on Carter. But then obviously they had James Robinson. It's two guys that I like. Like Carter, despite my concerns about, you know, his limited abilities to you know, maintain a full workload, he showed it last year. And then the Jets obviously are more of the mindset that I initially was, which they like him. They want to use him, but in a certain capacity, they trade for James Robinson, a 6th round pick for that conditionally becomes a 5th, seems like a steal for James Robinson, but the Jaguars just didn't seem to be James Robinson fans with the new setup there. He barely played last week. Part of that was due to injury, but maybe there's something going on internally that Robinson got into with a coach or slept with Khan's mistress or whatever happened there in Jacksonville, but he's out, he's moving. And I think eventually it becomes kind of a similar split to what we were seeing with Hall and Carter, where, you know, James Robinson gets 55-60%, Carter gets, you know, 40-35%.
Yeah. Did you say Robinson getting the bigger share?
Yeah, I think so.
I think I'm the other side, but I wouldn't be surprised if you're right either. I think they lean on the guy that, you know, was there first and knows the offense a little bit heavier, but we'll see. I mean, they did trade for Robinson for a reason too. Just like, I guess I wouldn't say just like the 49ers trading for McCaffrey, because it's not apples to apples, but and this was out of necessity a little bit more than the, I guess the 49ers had the necessity with all their running back injuries too. So, but yeah, it's the Jets and the 49ers. I think that's what it comes down to for me, is I really don't think the Jets are this good as they've looked early in the season. I think they've been a little bit lucky, and now they're losing a really exciting player out of that offense. I think I'm just fading the situation in general, and I would be selling both of these guys if you can get anything, of course, right? If nobody's giving you anything, then you just hold.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's what ultimately, you know, it always comes down to that. We always say that, but I think in this situation, it's almost a hold for me, unless somebody's going to come over the top and really thinks the situation, like they have a good beat on the situation, because I don't think you're getting enough in return for them. And one of them could pop. Like one of them could be the Jets receiver or running back going forward, whether that's Robinson or Carter. And even if the offense and the Jets in general take kind of a step back, having, you know, a starting running back that you can trust in today's game right now, it's still nice to have. More than likely, you're right, and it's kind of a messy situation, and you don't really know what to do. I would say for this week, though, I would be fine starting Carter as kind of a low-end RB2, probably high-end RB3 is where he actually fits in. And then James Robinson being kind of a dart throw I don't know that he's going to get a lot of work in this initial game.
Yeah, I don't think you can really start James Robinson in week 1. We'll see what happens. You know, maybe he'll surprise us, but it's really a risky start. You put something in the notes here that you saw some people talking about Michael Carter versus Damian Pierce. Are you concerned about Pierce? Because you've kind of got that question laid out for me here. I'm not.
I'm not worried about it for this year. You know, I'm not really worried about it going forward. I think the days of high capital running backs are leaving us, as we've seen in a lot of drafts recently. So I don't think it's a big deal if a team finds their running back on day 3. It certainly comes with a little less certainty than, say, a first rounder or a second rounder, first rounder specifically, because they can come with that optional 5th year, which I think some teams, especially the back end of year 1 or round 1, use to just extend that running back into the 5th year and then let them walk, knowing that they're not going to re-sign them. But I think in Pierce's case, I'm not overly concerned about it at this point. you know, Houston has a lot of holes to fill. If Damian Pierce shows he can do it, and they've liked him from, you know, pretty much day one of training camp, you started hearing news about him. So I think if they're happy with him and he's performing, I don't really worry about it. I wouldn't go, you know, trading the farm for him for Dynasty, because there is that, you know, minor concern. But if you're going for it this year, if you, and specifically for redraft, I'm not concerned.
Yeah, I mean, we all know the shelf life concerns are around running backs, and especially I think what you're alluding to is those late rounders that they're not fully invested in. The tides can change pretty quick on them. They could be here today, gone tomorrow. But hey, enjoy it while it's there. And he might, you know, you never know when one of these guys can turn into an Austin Eckler and suddenly be a first rounder for multiple years. So so I'm not selling on Pierce. I'm not concerned about it either. But another comment that you wanted to discuss here is people talking about this Breece Hall injury. And I mean, I guess I don't understand the argument. How would it change how people are viewing rookie running backs just because of one injury? What's the argument here, Bidon?
That's my point, is what you just said. I don't get the correlation. Every running back can get hurt, so why would a rookie running back who looked good be the reason that this changes? Like, that seems really dumb to me. So no, I just wanted to bring it up because it seems to be something that people are talking about. So if somebody hears it in another podcast that they're listening to or reads it somewhere, just know that both of us think that's really dumb and it shouldn't change anything. It's really about how good the running back is, the situation that they're going to. Like, that's what matters.
Agreed. Real quick here, Corey Davis has a knee injury. I don't know. Have you seen how serious this knee injury is? The Jets wide receiver core has really been injury riddled, all of them, the whole season.
Yeah, I haven't seen any specific details. It sounds like it's not overly serious. They're calling him day to day instead of, you know, saying he's out for weeks or even week to week. So you got to feel like that's a minimal time missed. Maybe this week he sits out a little bit more. I'm not sure what's going to happen in regards to snaps with the rest of the receivers, because we obviously heard that Elijah Moore's not happy with what's been going on there. So I would initially say he gets more work, but he's, you know, he was a scratch. So I guess it's Braxton Berrios and it's Garrett Wilson. And that's all I would feel comfortable starting if Davis is out.
Yeah. And another reason why I'm not excited about the Jets.
Yes. Trust is a very loose word there. Those are the two guys from the Jets. If you have to start somebody from the Jets, Garrett Wilson, maybe he becomes, you know, a start worthy look, because he probably becomes like their 90% snap count receiver with Davis out, because Davis was the only one getting that kind of snap count consistently.
Yeah, Garrett Wilson is the only one that I would be interested in rostering at this time. And even then, he's not a guy that I'm excited to start, like you're saying. So next up, Bidon, we've got DK Metcalf injury. This one stung me, but it sounds like he's going to be okay week to week. He might even be back this week. I don't know. We'll see. But he looked like in good spirits when they were carting him off. I thought for a minute that he just had to go take a dump or something, but it actually was a knee injury, apparently.
Yeah, I mean, we all freaked out last time, and it was nothing. And now, you know, this time we tried to, like, hold back, and now it might be serious. But now it does sound like he's avoided at least major injury. I wouldn't expect him back this week. It doesn't sound like that's necessarily going to happen, but who knows? It also hurt me. I mean, I have DK Metcalf all over the place. I have a number of leagues where I have him and Lockett just because they were just falling so hard in leagues. And it's like, oh, well, if nobody else wants them, I'll definitely take them. They've both been fine. I've actually been starting both of them a lot of weeks. This will hurt in regards to DK, though. I think he was becoming the alpha in the offense. And it may just slow that process down.
Yeah, I mean, this is a big hit to the entire Seahawks offense. There's no way around it. I mean, Geno Smith could still be serviceable in the right matchups, but when you lose a guy like DK and you're left with Lockett and some spare pieces, you're not excited to start Geno Smith anymore.
No, and I mean, Geno's been great from like a real world perspective for the Seahawks, but from a fantasy side, he's been pretty mediocre outside of the one really big game, and that was at Detroit. So how much are we really taking against, you know, any game against Detroit as well? Like the fantasy points just aren't as nice as the like storyline of Geno being this resurgent quarterback. So I'm perfectly fine if you don't want to take your chance on a different streaming quarterback. I think Geno's still serviceable. Like, he's going to be fine. I don't expect him to just bomb out, but I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of huge weeks mixed in, even when DK's back. I just think that's kind of how the offense in general will work, unless they're in kind of a shootout situation.
Yeah, so Geno was on one of those trajectories where he finishes as like the number 9 overall quarterback or something like that at the end of the year, and you just look
plays,
back,
yeah. Right?
It's like very consistent. The points were there. There weren't any, you know, 9-point games or anything like that, but there was not a whole lot of those 25 plus point games either. And now you can expect even less of that. I mean, I'd be looking at like probably 15 fantasy points per week in those 4-point touchdown formats, which, you know, that's fine if you need a bye week fill in the right kind of matchup. Maybe he goes off for 20 or something like that, but it is what it is. You know, he wasn't a guy you were excited to start before, at least me, and now he's really not.
I mean, I wasn't certain in a few matchups, not this week certainly, but in a number of matchups, it seemed like, you know, they were stepping into the right place. It just didn't happen as far as the point. So yeah, I'm with you. He's kind of fallen back quite a bit. I would say, you know, at one point I probably would have had him. I think we discussed it, like, as a back end QB1, low end or a high end QB2, even probably more on the high end QB2 area. But I think this kind of drops him back into the mid, straight up mid, maybe even low QB2, where it's really living in the streamer territory, at least for one quarterback leagues.
Yeah. Moving on to Amon-Ra St. Brown. So he left with a concussion, but it turns out he didn't actually even have a concussion. And this is going to be one of those aggravating developments that happens thanks to the Dolphins being shitheads.
Because somebody always has to ruin it for everybody else.
Exactly. Everybody's got to pay now. They're going to be super cautious. Yeah, you know, if one guy that's in charge of it sees some sort of movements that there's like even a chance that this guy has a concussion. I mean, I guess it's probably right, but like, where do you draw the line, right? We're playing football. These guys are putting their bodies on the line. They know the risks. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but it stinks as somebody that owns Amon-Ra St. Brown. It stinks for our game. And this is probably not the last one, right?
No, it's not. And I mean, it's also a game that you could lose like your balance or kind of look like you have a head injury for a number of reasons, you know.
Right.
I mean, if you just like twist your ankle or like you get a stinger, like it can look real bad for a second. But no, I get it. It's all about the player safety. So certainly there's the reason, but I'm kind of with you to the extent that if the doctors all say he didn't have a concussion and there's the independent doctor and they say he didn't have a concussion, then why are we then still forcing like a medical opinion that's not a medical opinion on? Obviously, if he has a concussion, then they take all the priorities necessary. I guess what we need to talk about, though, is what happens. But he's already been cleared. So, like, I fully expect him to play.
Right. He's going to play. It's no big deal now.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why he couldn't come back in later in the game after they're like, oh, he never had a concussion. Well, he's got to sit out the rest of the game. Suck it.
Yeah, that's just the way it's going to work. And that's going to really suck because losing guys in the middle of the game is just such a terrible way to lose your matchups. And I think I've had that happen in one league or another every single week this year. I've lost like at least one, if not multiple guys to injury in the game. And then you lose by like 5 points. It just hurts.
Yeah, it's almost like we need an alternate. Like you set an alternate lineup. If your guy goes out in the first half, then you get your alternate, you know?
I like that. So like somewhere between best ball and just like here's your guys, you're screwed if they don't play. I do like the backup idea. I don't know if you need like a clear like backup running back, backup receiver, or whether you just get like whoever you pick in that spot. I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have to work that out. But I like this idea. We may have to play with that, even if it means some extra work, or maybe we can reach out to our friends at Fantrax and see if that's possible through their software somehow.
Yeah, or at Yahoo. We'll talk to Andy Behrens about this.
See if we got friends all over DC. we can see if somebody can do it. I would not expect Yahoo to change their format for five years from now.
Everybody's going to be doing it, and we can point back to this episode. It'll be a piece of history.
But wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great to have a backup? Although, you know, you could still come out with like the same amount of points. I mean,
if you had a chance,
backup to Breece Hall, there's no guarantee that your backup to Breece Hall scored more points than Breece Hall. So what do you do at that point?
Right. I think, it would have to be coded. So
is it like a best ball situation where you just like it just slots in if it's better? Or like clearly if he leaves the game, he gets replaced. Like, we'll have to work on some details.
So I think it's if they have to be out before halftime. So if they play a whole half, then you're stuck with that guy. And then if they play the first half and your alternate doesn't outscore him, then you keep it. I think that would be the conditional formatting for this thing that's never going to happen.
I mean, if we could really get down to the nitty gritty, like it would be great to get like a half that you got and then the half that from your replacement player. But that's a lot of work.
Yeah, you get two halves. Yeah,
that's a lot to ask, but that would be awesome.
Okay, Mike Williams, he's got an ankle injury. He didn't return. It sounds like he's going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks, I think I read.
I don't know. I had initially heard it was really bad, but then it also sounds like they're just kind of playing it close to the chest for now and saying, like, I don't know, we're going to reevaluate because they're on bye this week, so they don't necessarily have to have an injury report. So it is they have said it's doubtful he's going to play come off the bye, but I don't know. I don't know where we're looking at. It does sound like it's not good.
Yeah,
they definitely said weeks, not days. So it is not the rosy news we maybe got for DK.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the silver lining here is this could be good for Keenan Allen owners coming out of the bye. He should be theoretically close to 100% and get a ton of targets with Mike Williams out. So I guess that's something.
Yeah, and I guess I would go – I think DeAndre Carter has been the guy when we've been missing either
Josh
Allen
Palmer
or
too.
Williams and Josh Palmer, although he was – I think he was a healthy scratch in this one.
Oh, was he?
I'm not sure exactly. Oh, no, he had a concussion. Sorry, he still hadn't cleared concussion protocol.
He had a real concussion.
Yeah. So you're right. So Josh Palmer's another one, especially for that outside role specifically. He could take a little bit of – actually, he could take a nice benefit here with Williams out.
Matt Ryan, he's getting benched. Shoulder injury, I guess. I don't know. He might have been benched anyway, right?
They were likely going to make this swap regardless. And apparently, there are also some contract stipulations that make it so that they don't really want Ryan to play, and specifically, they don't want Ryan to play and be seriously injured.
Yeah, they don't want to pay him.
Yeah, because apparently if he gets injured if he's injured as of specific dates in his contract, more money gets guaranteed because then his performance isn't tied to injury, to like him playing bad, it would be tied to injury. Well, now he has a small injury, they don't want it to become something that they actually have to deal with.
Yeah, well, don't sleep on Sam Ellinger. Sam Ellinger had a really good rookie preseason. Last year, there was a lot of hype building around him. So, there could be something here. I like these guys that have sat a whole season, kind of like Aaron Rodgers did and Mahomes did, and kind of learned the ropes in the system. And now he's getting the shot. We'll see. I mean, he's got Michael Pittman to work with and Jonathan Taylor and pretty darn good offensive line. So he's on my radar for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you need a quarterback, you can go with him. I'm not. It sounds like you're actually potentially looking at him as somebody to.
I'm not picking him up, but okay. I think that he could blow up. There's a chance, So got my eye on him.
All right, fair enough. I mean, anything can happen. I don't expect Sam Ellinger to really perform. I kind of feel like this is the Colts waving the flag and saying, like, we want a quarterback next year, and that's what's happening right now.
Yeah, I don't think they are. We'll see, though. We'll see how it pans out. Ryan Tannehill's got an ankle injury. Sounds like
yeah, I will say on the Colts real quick, it seemed like we were finally understanding kind of the role of everybody, and now this I think we start back at zero. I know I hate Paris Campbell. I've always hated Paris Campbell, but even though he's looked good the last few weeks, like I don't think I'm starting him with this change because I don't know what his role looks like.
Right. And, you know, I guess we should address, we kind of talked quite a bit about Matt Ryan last week and how it looked like he had turned a corner and now suddenly he's getting benched. So a little bit of a swing and a miss there.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really feel like it was that, like it was his fault. He was playing actually okay. I mean, he obviously missed some throws that he shouldn't miss, but you can literally say that about every quarterback every week. So I don't know. This one's a head scratcher again. I think it's contract. I think it's tanking, but I know you like him, so we will see what happens.
Yeah, here, I don't think that they're tanking. I think that they've seen some stuff that they like from him, and Matt Ryan is Matt Ryan. Like it's not like you're benching one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's a middle of the road guy. He can manage the game, and I suppose because of the injury, they've got an out where if Ellinger stinks, they can go back to Matt Ryan and say, well, that was, you know, it was because of the injury that you got benched, kind of a thing. Yeah, I guess
that's true. Or they can always go to Foles. You know, Foles may get his opportunity still.
But moving on to Ryan Tannehill, he's got an ankle injury. I don't know. I don't really care. I mean, the Titans offense, it's like Derrick Henry, and there's nothing else that interested me there anyway.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there's a certain level of at least Tannehill keeps defenses honest. If it's Malik in there next week, they're just going to load the box and try and stop the run. So there's some concern, but it's not like the Titans are a very complex offense. Anyways, they pretty much line up and run regardless of who's at quarterback.
Right. We already kind of hit on the James Robinson ETN thing. I guess we have the conversation every week. I can now stake claim to victory with my ETN bandwagon.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. You know, yeah, he still has to do it for more an extended period of time. But yes, the thing that I was pretty much most worried about was that James Robinson is a better running back. Now I'm no longer current concern because James Robinson ain't there.
Yeah, and ETN's looked pretty. I mean, he's looked good. As I always say, it's like you give an NFL running back a chance, and the offense isn't absolutely horrible, which the Jaguars actually aren't for once. He's gonna put up numbers.
Yeah, I mean, looks good. Maybe an oversimplification, but he should look fine.
Yeah, he's putting up fantasy numbers, so that's all.
He's putting up fantasy numbers, and he's getting you know, at least the right couple of touches to make the numbers look good at the end of the day.
All right. Where are you at on Kenneth Walker rest of season? Where are you ranking him?
I love Kenneth Walker. I have him all over the place. I always thought it was his job, you know, sooner than later. Just had to prove that, you know, he was going to take the job. And now with the injury, he's just taken the job away. I would say rest of season, he comes in at RB, like I would say a high-end RB2. I think that's where I'm comfortable with him.
Just I got him a little higher.
Some of the top backs have kind of rounded into shape. You know, we got Jacobs, Eckler, Barkley, McCaffrey, Taylor, and Cook, and Chubb all kind of set up there. Swift's coming back. Kamara kind of still deserves his spot up there. Jacobs is throwing his name up there. So it's just hard to kind of mix in who I love and is getting a lot of touches. Your boy Etienne, like it's just kind of hard to get him into like the top RB1 area for me.
Yeah, I don't have him as top RB1. I got him back end RB1. I got most of the guys that you just listed off ahead of him, but I'll have Kenneth Walker in that.
I mean, like, that's 10, like 12 guys, 13 guys. So well, I mean, he's the guys still that I don't. RB2.
Yeah, the guys that I don't have ahead that you listed are Etienne and Swift and Kamara. Yeah,
I don't have Etienne. So. I have Swift over him. I still love DeAndre Swift. I would have Kamara Walker. I think I'm still going to go Kamara just because I feel like with the injury to DK, teams don't have to pay attention to the back end quite as much, at least for a couple of weeks here. But DK's injury seemingly not as serious. That's probably an over concern.
Yeah, I guess I think that we're generally in the same kind of area on Walker.
Yeah, I think if we tiered it out, they'd be in right. The same tier.
Yes.
But I'm just like, what I'm saying in my mind is like, it's really hard to get him into an RB1 unless he's a back-end RB1 because there's about 8 guys, 9 guys that have like solidified themselves
those are the RB1s.
RB1s.
Yeah, then you've got a group.
And then there's five guys on the back end that you can make an argument for.
Right. Yep. Agreed. And I think I've got him towards the top of that. You might have him in the middle, but splitting hairs.
Yeah, I probably have him in the middle. I don't have him in the back end. I love him, but I loved him partially because of his draft cost.
Yeah. Dobbins is hurt. He's done. I think he's done for the year, right?
Yeah. I mean, he might be back. I don't think they've said he's out for the year. There's still a chance. He returns, but it's not great. He's going for a scope that's not necessarily surgery. So I'm not ruling him out. I'm not dropping him yet until they say he's done for the season. But yeah, this sounds not good.
Are you buying either of Gus Edwards or Kenyon Drake?
I'm buying Edwards. I think Edwards takes over, you know, majority role here. It seems like that's the way they are already going. I really thought they would kind of ease Edwards in after seeing Dobbins kind of re-injured and not wanting Edwards to take the same path. But nope, they just threw Edwards right in. So I think it's Edwards and then Drake. Kenyon Drake continues to do the Kenyon Drake thing, which is have one really nice week and then disappoint us the rest of the season.
You know, he didn't do himself a whole lot of favors here with his 11 carries for 5 yards this week.
No, he didn't. I will say, like, the carries he got, it wasn't necessarily his fault that they didn't go anywhere. Like, he just got met in the backfield a lot of times, and there's not a whole lot that you can do about that regardless of who you are. So I think this was bad for Drake, but I wouldn't necessarily say this is like the nail in the coffin that means he's never going to get to touch the ball. I just think Edwards is going to be the RB1 of the timeshare.
Yep, same page. And, you know, Edwards probably back end RB2. Maybe he creeps up into the mid RB2 type range.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see kind of I would say probably back end RB2 just because there's always the Lamar Jackson factor when we're talking about Baltimore running backs and who's getting touchdowns between the running backs, Lamar, and then basically Andrews. So that's my only concern in regards to Baltimore running backs, and that's always there.
Yeah, so a couple more topics here, Beadon, and then we'll jump off. Let's go to a guy that we talked a lot about last week, DeAndre Hopkins. He looked pretty good, just kind of right back in the swing of things with Kyler Murray. Kyler looks to him pretty much every play, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's basically DeAndre Hopkins and then Kyler Murray scrambling. That's become the entire offense. Greg Dortch got the catch. So, you know, he got the touchdown on the short yardage. He got to play a little bit more. He got back in the game because of some of the injuries they're dealing with AJ Green, with Marquise Brown. So, I mean, you just have to pay attention. I think the Rondale Moore, Greg Dortch is really just going to be a random dart throw. I know people were maybe counting on Rondale Moore stepping up with no Marquise Brown, but they also pushed Rondale Moore to the outside where he is essentially useless. And so it's really who gets the slot work between those two that is, I think, the better dart throw, but I don't really want to be starting either of them at this point. It's D-Hop, it's Kyler. I don't even really feel good about the running backs at this point in Arizona.
Yeah, and I think that I'm moving Hopkins up into kind of the better case scenario that we talked about last week into the mid to high end wide receiver two. There's even a chance that he becomes a wide receiver one again, just with the way that he's being used, it appears.
Yeah. I mean, at least in PPR, I could see the case for him being a back end RB or WR one, but I mean, I think you're right. I think what you said initially, kind of the higher end of what we were saying, which is, you know, pretty much set in the middle of a WR2 area. And that's where I think he eventually kind of settles in. But he's going to have some nice weeks. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And the targets look like they're going to be there. So PPR formats, yeah, I could see back end wide receiver one. I could see that definitely happening.
We're both buying. We're both buying DeAndre Hopkins. Juju Smith-Schuster, nice week. He had a touchdown. Racked up some good yardage, and he actually had a second touchdown that was called back. So it could have been a huge fantasy game. Are you buying?
Yeah, I mean, Juju was a guy that I was buying all over the place in the preseason. It didn't look great, and I was starting to question my thought process. But now these last couple of weeks where the Kansas City offense has gotten kind of together, it really seems like Mahomes is starting to understand where Juju is, and Juju is understanding the offense, so it's starting to click. And they were two completely different games. Like, one was a check down underneath game, and this was them kind of taking more shots downfield. Now, Juju's plays were still him breaking tackles and making some big runs, but it was just two different styles of Kansas City offense. To see him involved in both games is nice. And I would say, I don't know if I'm buying, because I feel like at this point the Juju owner's like, no, I'm just gonna ride it out. So I don't know that I'm buying high. But I'm not necessarily trying to sell him out, because I think this was a fluke either.
Yeah, I agree.
I like him.
I would tend to be buy hold area on Juju. I like being invested in the Chiefs offense. So last topic here, B-Don. The Washington running back. So you know, it's no secret. I've always been an Antonio Gibson fan. Ron Rivera came out last week and said that they were going to try to get Antonio Gibson the ball more, and that there was like no excuse for them not having gotten him the ball more in the week 6 game against the Bears, where, you know, he averaged 7 yards per carry, but only got 5 carries. He did get 4 targets and caught 3 of them in that game. Of course, come back out this next game in week 7, and he only gets 10 carries. And he tallies 59 yards on that. So he's averaging 7 yards per carry in week 6, 5.9 yards per carry in week 7. He looks really good when he touches the ball. He had 3 more receptions on 4 targets for 18 yards and got into the end zone on one of those. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense here to me why Brian Robinson is getting 20 carries per game. But I will say I'm still buying Antonio Gibson. You know, he's 29 snaps he got compared to Robinson's 35. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of it. I think that Ron Rivera is just kind of an enigma, and it could flip at any time. So I think that there's a good risk reward on buying Antonio Gibson personally. What's your take here?
It's tough, because on the one hand, you're right that Gibson does look good with the touches he got this week in particular. Robinson has looked good for the most part. This week was not his best effort in regards to, if you just kind of roll back the tape and look at what he was doing. He kind of missed some holes. He was getting bottled up a little bit. Some of it, again, was just not great opportunity. Sometimes if you're rent in the backfield, there's not a whole lot that a lot of running backs can do. But I would just expect this to be a mess going forward. I think Robinson's going to be the one who gets more attempts, more of the snaps, and I don't think that's changing. They really feel like they like Robinson. He's going to be the running back of the future. I don't know why they hate Antonio Gibson after supposedly loving him for so many years. But this is kind of what I expect to see. I don't expect either running back to really take over barring injury, and I don't know that the Washington offense is one that I necessarily want to count on with the way that it's kind of been up and down this whole season.
Yeah, so I it's hard to totally disagree with what you're saying, but I think I got it flipped. I think that it is going to trend towards Antonio Gibson. I think he ends up being kind of the 60-40 leader in that backfield. Robinson's not going to go away barring an injury, and yeah, it's not the offense that you want to be like heavily invested in, but I think the price is right. I don't know. I mean, I guess him having scored a touchdown this week, maybe the buying opportunity is not great, but I'm certainly not dropping Antonio Gibson. If he's out there, you definitely go and pick him up, because he may have been dropped after the five carry performance the previous week. So that's my take on it. We'll see. I think I've got Gibson right now. He's like a high end flex. Maybe I'm seeing him as a potential RB2 if it does shift in the way that I envision it, but I don't think we're too far apart on this. Just you're a little bit more in the Robinson camp. I'm a little bit more in the Gibson camp. It is a little bit of a headache, right?
Yeah. I mean, would you rather have Antonio Gibson or Allen Robinson?
Oh, Gibson. Yeah.
Or sorry, not Allen. James Robinson.
Oh, James Robinson. Yeah, still Gibson. We need to see what that offense. Again, I'm not excited about the Jets.
All right, so you take both the Jets over him. What about Tony Pollard?
Him over both the Jets, yeah.
Yeah. What about Tony Pollard?
It looked like Zeke was hurt, didn't it? We didn't even talk about that. He left, and it looked like Zeke might have been seriously hurt. And you know, I hate to celebrate somebody's injury, but I've got quite a bit of Pollard. I know you do too. But yeah, I think that's the right area. Flip a coin. If I've got to start somebody in the short term, I think I'd feel a little bit better starting Gibson, but you're really not excited to start either of these two in their timeshares personally.
Yeah, I think I'm going with Pollard in that one just because if we're looking at the situation where that we want, which is they become the RB1, which basically happens via injury, Washington is still going to use, you know, JD McKissick. They're still not going to give it all to Antonio Gibson. Whereas if something happens to Zeke, I feel like Dallas is going to load it up on Jones and see if he's the guy.
Pollard. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. The upside there is there with Pollard. So I think, yeah, there's a decent argument for that. And that reminds me of actually another point I was thinking of. Gibson, you kind of don't want him to fall into that role where he's getting 25 carries per game because it just doesn't seem like his body can handle it. He's kind of shown over the past couple seasons, he gets banged up and you won't have him down the stretch. So it's almost a good thing if you've got him taking 60% and Robinson taking 40, even though it hurts that fantasy upside. If he is an RB2, maybe you got him down the stretch. So just another tangent thought, but
I just want every touch, DT. I'm greedy. I don't care how long, like I just want to see the maximum that I can get.
Yeah. So I want instant gratification.
Everybody can get injured. You know, that can happen anytime. You can get one touch a game that happened. I just want to see the maximum out of the players while they're in there.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's a cop out. It's just another perspective that want the instant gratification too.
It would be nice to have everybody around come playoff time though. Cause right now it's looking like some of my roster is going to be completely different from draft day, which always happens, but I'm talking like it's already completely different.
Yeah, well, hey, you know, don't give up to everybody out there listening. There's always a chance. If you're 3-4 and your roster's banged up, same thing's going to happen to everybody else's team, so stick with it.
Yeah, I mean, you can definitely turn things around. I have a couple teams that are just starting to hit their stride because of some of the guys that have fallen in place, like a Kenneth Walker. But yeah, we're gonna see how the rest of the season shakes out. Hopefully, we'll get a better handle of it, and everything will kind of, you know, fit to what we're at least used to seeing, a little less of the guys leaving, you know, first quarter in the games consistently. That would be great.
Yeah, well, you know, hopefully we've got our our alternates that we can swap in.
Yeah, we got to figure out that we got to get somebody on that coding or whatever we need to do.
All right, B-Don, let's wrap it up here. Great show. I am at DonkeyTeeth87 on Twitter. B-Don is at RazBDon. You can go ahead and head over to YouTube and like this show, subscribe to the Razball Fantasy YouTube channel. We'd appreciate that. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts and where else, B-Don?
Spotify. I mean, wherever you get your podcast, you can find us. If you get your podcast somewhere and we're not there, let us know. We'll figure it out.
All right. Take it easy, B-Don.
See you guys.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.